We're going to continue today through the Psalms, and next week in my absence, I believe that you're going to have Psalm 82, so we're going to continue working our way through the Psalms. But before I read Psalm 49 today, I kind of think you need a little context for it. Now, I know most of you are really diligent and never watch TV or anything and don't have any idea. You know, you're so busy and everything. So you guys don't do this, but, you know, I do. And I know that most of you, some of you have Netflix, right? You've got Netflix, I've got Netflix, or Hulu, or you've got a cable box and you've got on demand. You know, you've got 72,000 channels, but we still have to have certain things on demand that we can get right away. Well, I know when I go on and look at mine, they'll give me listings and it'll say drama or action and adventure or documentary. And you can hit those keys and it'll give you a whole subset of films to watch, right? So, you know, the drama, if you feel like you need your emotional fix for the day so you can see something that's going to tug at your heart and warm you up and just wrench those emotions. Or if you're going to see the action, you know, you'll see something that will drive you forward and give that strength to go on. Or a documentary, you might learn something. You might find, you know, it's an easier way than plowing through textbooks to maybe see the pictures in front of us. There are different types of psalms, just like there are different types of movies to watch. Because several hundred years ago, a long time ago, they didn't have Netflix or 72,000 cable channels. But they were able to sing songs and write poems and tell each other things of emotional need. We called those complaint psalms or laments. We talked about them a couple of weeks ago. When you cry out to God in your pain. But after the drama, there's action and adventure. Well, that's the psalm of trust. The songs of trust we talked about last week give us that strength and courage to move forward and paint us pictures that help us go. Well, today is what's called a wisdom psalm, and it comes out of the wisdom tradition. So you might say it's the ancient Near East version of a documentary. It's going to take something from life, paint a picture of it, and then try to teach us a lesson out of it. And it's included in our psalms. Jeremiah 18:18 says, "The law shall not perish from the priest, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet." Jeremiah said, the law shall not perish from the priest, the counsel from the wise, or the word from the prophet. He was describing the three main ways that the ancient Hebrews taught themselves about their faith. You had the law and the priests. You had the prophets who brought the word, the Spirit of God, spontaneously to the new place. And then you had the sages, the wise, who took their counsel from experience and taught them about the way the world works. They weren't necessarily the most spiritual of the group, but they were the ones who provided wise counsel. And it's interesting for us as Christians because, you see, Jesus incorporated all three facets of being a Jew into his teaching. He incorporated the law. Because you remember, he said, I came not to abolish the law, but through me the law shall be fulfilled. Then one of his first public occasions to speak in the synagogue, he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, the Spirit came upon me so that I might preach good news to the poor. So he had the law, and he had the prophet, but he also had the teachings of the wise. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now he took it a step further and began to spiritualize it and bring it into context with him. But he built it on the foundation of the wisdom teacher. Where the treasure is, there your heart will be. Because that's not necessarily a spiritual thing. That's just a statement of how human nature and the world works. So with that introduction, let's look at Psalm 49. Now, I'm going to read to you from the Message, which is a paraphrase, but I like the language that Peterson used to write this. Listen, everyone, listen. All earth dwellers, don't miss this. All you haves and all you have nots, all together, listen. I set plain-spoken wisdom before you. My heart-seasoned understanding of life. I fine-tuned my ear to the sayings of the wise, and I solve life's riddle with the help of my harp. So why should I fear in bad times, hemmed in by enemy malice, shoved around by bullies, demeaned by the arrogant rich? Really? There's no such thing as self-rescue, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. The cost of rescue is beyond our means. Even then, it doesn't guarantee life forever or insurance against that black hole. Anyone can see the brightest and best die, wiped out along with the fools and the dunces. They leave behind all their prowess, and they move into their new home, the coffin. The cemetery, their permanent address, and to think they named counties after themselves. We are not immortal. We don't last long. Like our dogs, we age, we weaken, and we die. This is what happened to those who live for the moment, who only look out for themselves. Death herds them like sheep straight towards hell. They disappear down the gullet of the grave. They waste away to nothing. Nothing left but a marker in a cemetery. But me? God snatches me from the clutch of death. He reaches down and grabs me. So don't be impressed with those who get rich and pile up fame and fortune. They can't take it with them. And folks praise them. Just when you think they've arrived, and folks praise them because they've made good, then they enter the family burial plot, where they will never see sunshine. For you see, we are not immortal. We don't last long. Like dogs, we age and weaken and die. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, you give us your word. Help us to learn from it. Teach us what you want us to know. Show us what you want us to do. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. As a culture, Americans, we seem to be, I won't say necessarily fixated, but we seem to think a lot about wealth. We're one of the wealthiest nations in all of the world, and we still spend a lot of our time as a culture thinking about it. For those of us who lived through them, remember the bumper stickers in the 80s. Those with the most toys, when? It's most toys when they die, when? Or in the 90s, we had TV shows like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And then for the millennials, it went right into MTV Cribs, where we got to see where those really rich and powerful people lived. And then, of course, that was later followed by a show that none of you have ever seen, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We seem as a culture to be obsessed with those that have money and power. It seems to be in our DNA, right? The American dream is having all of this stuff. Now, not only individually does this seem to be what possesses us as a people, but as a nation, we seem tied to it as well. I'll never forget a couple weeks after 9/11, listening to our president, George W. Bush, tell us the most important thing we can do to devastate our enemy is take a trip to Florida and go to Disney, or take a trip to the mall and buy stuff. Because he wanted to show the world that America was back doing what we normally do. And if what we normally do is shopping, it says something about who we are. We put a lot of trust in it as a country and as a culture. We put a lot of trust in our wealth, our ability to pay for things. Now, none of us sitting in this room may consider ourselves wealthy, but compared to the rest of the world, we are. We most definitely are. But even as a country, we have seemed in the last few hundred years really put our trust in wealth. If you look at it, almost every president we've ever elected, at least those since Hoover in 1929, have been millionaires. They were wealthy. Well, you got to throw Truman out because he wasn't. But the rest of them all were. And most recently, we've elected our first billionaire president. Not saying anything about these men or what parties they represent. But think about our Congress, Senate, our House of Representatives. Average net worth of the Senate is over $1 million per senator. We govern ourselves with the wealthy. Why is that? What does that say about who we are as a people? They're not all Democrats. They're not all Republicans. They're just all rich. What does that say about us that elect them? Is it important to us that these people who lead us have money? Is it the very fact that they do that gives us an illusion that they have a power we don't have? It seems that as individuals and as a country, we've put our confidence and wealth. And it's the poetry of Psalm 49 that I think maybe gives us a chance at a reset, or a chance to at least think about things that we don't normally think about. The wisdom teachers of many, many years ago said, don't trust in wealth. Every single person, according to the psalmist, goes down to the grave. We all know this. We all die. Everybody dies at the end. The rich cannot ransom themselves from death. That's what the psalmist says. They cannot take their money and say, nope, I don't think I'll die. Thank you. It's not going to happen. It seems that the same issue that we have as 21st century Americans was not uncommon in the ancient Near East. People put their, for whatever reason, put their confidence and trust in the power of the wealth of those around them. And this wisdom teacher who plays a riddle and plays a harp wants to teach us one lesson, and one lesson only. Don't put your faith, don't put your trust and the wealthy. It seems easy. It seems normal. And quite frankly, in most of our lifetimes, it seems like the right choice. But the psalmist reminds us that it is only God who can reach down and ransom us from the grave. Because the treasure that God has is different than the treasure that we seem to be fixated on. The treasure that God has is completely different. Because that treasure is love. The psalmist, when he was writing it, was not necessarily overly spiritual. He was stating real, good, normal, common sense facts. Don't put your trust in wealth. But there's one line where he says, only God can ransom me. Only God. And Paul took that a little bit step farther when the Apostle Paul says, nothing. Nothing at all can separate us from the love of God. Not life, not death, nor principalities, nor powers. Nothing is greater than the love of God. Psalm 49 is a wisdom psalm that was written centuries ago and doesn't seem to have a whole lot of place, or does it, in the life of a country and a people who seem fixated on wealth. And remember, as Jesus said, using another wisdom teaching, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.